Mr. Sachs.
Thank you, Judge Flom. May it please the court, I'm Gary Sachs and I represent American River Transportation Company in this appeal. I represented it during all proceedings below. During this oral argument, I'm going to refer to American River Transportation Company by its acronym, ARTCO. Your Honors, the resolution of the major issue on this appeal turns upon the answer to the following question. Can a person who is required to prove he was ordered to do something in order to prevail in a lawsuit make a submissible case to the jury when he unqualifiedly and unequivocally testifies he wasn't ordered to do that very thing? The answer to that rhetorical question is obviously no. And because it's no, I'm about to demonstrate to you why the judgment in favor of Larry Gwynn should be reversed in this case. Our argument on appeal, or our position on appeal, is that the Rule 50 motion, a judgment for a matter as a matter of law, which was denied during the plaintiff's case, after the plaintiff's case, after all the evidence, and after the verdict, implicates the standard of review, which is de novo. The test, of course, is whether a reasonable person, in the context of this case, could believe that Larry Gwynn was ordered to take a six-long tow southbound on the Mississippi River.
Well, you give a dictionary definition of what to order means is to require or direct something to be done. Can't you require something to be done without saying so directly? Can't the circumstances and the implication of...
Well, of course it can, but there's no room for implication when the person who is required to prove that he was ordered to do something says he wasn't ordered to do something.
Well, if Gwynn was told, push the sixth row or you'll be fired, would that be an order?
Absolutely, that would be an order.
Well, what's the difference between saying that and saying, push the sixth row if you want your boat fixed, or push the sixth row or you'll get a bad performance review and eventually will lose your job?
We'll lose your job is not part of the evidence. And the evidence showed that the boat was, in fact, maintained.
But focus on this, you know, push the sixth row if you want your boat fixed, or push the sixth row or you'll get a bad performance review.
But it just wasn't that direct, Judge Williams, and you're taking, with all due respect, you're taking that out of context. He asked if he wanted to get his boat, he wanted his boat maintained. He was told they would get his boat maintained immediately if he would take six long tows. He didn't do that, and so they maintained his boat, and he wasn't fired as a result of that, so that couldn't have been an order. I mean, the word order is not something that is esoteric. It doesn't need interpretation. It's a command. In layman's language, it means do it or else. And in that context, I asked Mr. Gwynn on cross-examination the following question. From the time you were first asked to tow barges that were six lengths, or from the time you were first asked to consider towing barges that were six lengths long, southbound on the Mississippi River, until the time your employment ended on June 10 of 2003, nobody at ARTCO ever ordered you to take a six-long tow southbound on the Mississippi River, did they, sir? His answer was, no, sir. There was no explanation. And on redirect, his attorney gave him an opportunity to explain that damning admission. And again, without qualification and unequivocally, he said he wasn't ordered to move that tow.
Let's get back to this, him wanting this repair, because now I've got the exact language. He asked to get this repair on the propellers because they were shaking real bad. And he wanted to get that repaired, and he wanted to get it done, and the supervisor said he couldn't get it done unless he agreed to push to a sixth row.
But in fact, it was done. This was well over a year before his job was terminated. So that couldn't have been an order which resulted in his firing, because it was maintained.
Well, when were the propellers repaired?
Well, before a year before he was terminated, and that is in the record on appeal that we've
terminated. Right, and where was it relative to when he asked that it be fixed, and he was told he needed to do the 6 push?
I don't believe the record shows that. But I can tell you it was repaired well before, a year before his job was terminated, and I can tell you that the cases that we've cited, Noble Pharma and Falco Lime, state that a Rule 50 motion can be and should be granted when the plaintiff admits unequivocally the very element that the cause of action requires. No reasonable person could believe that Mr. Gwynn was ordered to take a 6-long tow when he admitted that he wasn't ordered. And if this mechanical problem equated to an order, wouldn't you expect Mr. Gwynn, when asked, were you ever ordered to take a 6-long tow? Wouldn't you expect him to say, yes, when I wanted to get my boat fixed, they wouldn't do it, that's an order? He didn't say that.
Mr. Sachs, didn't he at one point testify, and I'm not recalling whether it's on direct, redirect, or cross, that he'd been asked so frequently that he felt it wasn't voluntary anymore?
He did say that he was asked frequently, and he said that he assumed that in the future he was going to be terminated, furloughed, or laid off. Well, that hardly equates to an order.
Well, I think his exact testimony was, it seemed like just about every trip or every other trip you would be talking on the phone, have you thought about it yet? And finally, it got to the point, as Judge Flom said, he felt it wasn't voluntary anymore. And then not only do we have that, but we've got, you know, the change in the pay scale after this 6-long towing mandate came out to pay lower river operators who refused the 6-row less than the lower river operators who accepted it. And also paying lower river operators who refused the 6-row less than upper river operators, even though all the lower river operators push heavier loads than the upper river operators.
Well, if you read the record, you'll find that the pay scale was developed probably 4 years before Mr. Gwynn was terminated. And the pay scale was developed that the people that took the larger tows would be paid a higher wage. The boats that took the smaller tows on different rivers and through locking rivers were paid more, and then the people that took the tows southbound that were only taking 5-longs were paid a different scale. The pay scale didn't constitute an order.
But it sets a context for the behavior. I don't think they argued that there was an order.
Well, of course, and when the question was asked, were you ever ordered to take a 6-long tow, you'd think that someone who thought that all of those facts equated to an order would have said so. But he didn't say so. And there is absolutely no discussion, really, in the plaintiff's brief about the effect of the admission. Instead, our argument has been mischaracterized and his testimony has been mischaracterized. Their argument is that we say that the statute can't be satisfied unless the magic word order is used in a communication between the employer and the employee. And that's just not the case. We've never made that argument. What we've argued is that when he was asked simply, were you ever ordered to take a 6-long tow, his answer was no. And at page 13 of his brief, he takes the testimony of his client out of context to make it seem as if after the second evaluation, he viewed that as being an order and that he was going to be terminated, discharged, or laid off, when in fact he said the most he ever said was that he assumed in the future that that was going to happen. Well, that doesn't constitute an order. The evaluations couldn't be in order because Mr. Gwynn again said they weren't orders. He said that they didn't tell him he had to take 6-long tows downriver. And he said after each evaluation he spoke to his supervisor, who specifically told him he wouldn't be forced to take 6-long tows downriver. And the last conversation he ever had with him 6 months before he was laid off was to the effect that he didn't have to take 6-long tows southbound on the Mississippi River. And the trump card for the evaluations, of course, is that six other captains and pilots in the same position as Mr. Gwynn, who had refused to take six long tows, who got the same evaluations as Mr. Gwynn, weren't terminated, furloughed, or laid off. In fact, at the time of trial, they still had refused to take six long tows, and they were still employed. So the evaluations couldn't have been in order. I don't believe that Mr. Gwynn...
Well, let me ask you, how soon after he was terminated did he file his lawsuit?
I don't recall the exact date. I think within a year. But I don't believe a reasonable person could think that he was ordered to take a six long tow because he testified unequivocally and without qualification that he wasn't ordered to take a six long tow. And that's the test. I do want to address one other issue on appeal, and that is the failure of the district court to award the expert fees for the taking of a deposition, which Rule 26 virtually requires. The district court made no comment about that in its order. And the agreement that the plaintiff's attorney breached, where each side agreed that they would pay for the expenses of their non-retained experts, to bring to St. Louis.
Well, from the invoices attached to the pleadings, it looks like you paid the plaintiffs $136 for one of their non-retained experts, but you're asking for over $11,000 for your non-retained experts?
That's the agreement that was made. They wanted us to bring these non-retained experts into St. Louis, and they said, if you pay for our non-retained experts, we'll pay for yours. And we agreed to that. Now, the fact that he winds up having to pay more than we have to pay doesn't invalidate the agreement. Judge Reagan decided that he wasn't even going to deal with that issue because unless he signed off on it. Judge Posner in the Dale case has said that the courts have jurisdiction over the conduct of the attorneys that appear before it, and I think that in situations like this, the judges should exercise that jurisdiction. I don't intend to comment in my argument about the many and blatant violations of your Circuit Rule 28C that are contained in the plaintiff's brief. I believe the court can deal with violations of its own rules as it deems appropriate. We simply ask for a reversal of the judgment in favor of Larry Gwynn for the reasons argued here and in our brief, and we ask that our costs, expert fees, and expenses be awarded. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Mr. Dussart?
May it please the court. The trial court instructed the jury that an order can be implied by conduct. ARTCO has not appealed the giving of that instruction. ARTCO agrees that a jury is entitled to consider circumstantial evidence that an order has been given. ARTCO does not dispute, additionally, that a jury is allowed to draw reasonable inferences from the evidence. And yet ARTCO contends that Captain Gwynn's alleged admission that he was never directly ordered to push six long tows.
Well, it's not an alleged admission. It's in the record. He said it, didn't he?
Yes, he did say that he was never
directly. Why don't you just call it an admission and let it go at that?
All right, let's call it an admission then.
That way.
All right. Now, assuming that it was an admission, does that admission undermine the circumstantial evidence that he was so ordered? Does it undermine the ability of the jury to consider whether or not an order was implied by the conduct of defendant? Does it undermine the jury's ability to draw reasonable inferences from the evidence? I think the answer to that question is no. ARTCO cannot have it both ways. And let me just talk about the overall scheme or plan that ARTCO used to try initially to persuade and eventually to force its pilot house personnel to push six long tows when it did not want to do so. First of all, when it started the program, none of its pilot house personnel wanted to push six long tows. You have to understand the context of the situation. No other company was pushing six long tows on the Mississippi River southbound. ARTCO wanted to do that because it would make more money doing it. The first thing it did was change the pay scale, award the pilots that agreed to do so more money, and punish in in effect, the pilots did refuse to do so by giving them the lowest pay on the pay scale. In fact, it turned and paid its pilots that pushed upper river boats more money than the lower riverboat pilots that refused to push six long tows, even though it admitted that it took less skill to push the upper river boats. The next thing it did was it repeatedly asked them over and over again at every opportunity, will you push six long tows? Have you considered pushing six long tows? This did not just happen to Captain Gwynn. This happened to all their pilot house personnel. These pilot house personnel talked to each other. They felt the pressure of this, and that had an effect on whether or not this, in fact, was an order. Then there was the free ride program that was used by ARTCO. The free ride program was mostly used with pilots, and evaluations were used with captains because the port captains were the ones that evaluated the captains. So captains would not put the kind of pressure on a pilot that the pilot, that the port captains would. But the free ride was important to show you the overall scheme and the overall pressure that these pilots and captains were put under and felt. They talked to each other about it. These boats were loaded up with six long tows, even though these individuals said, I don't think it's safe to push a six long tow. And then they were told, you are going to push a six long tow, or you're going to go home and you're not going to get paid. These people worked 30 days on, 30 days off. That meant that they would miss a whole 30 days of pay. They, in effect, would not get paid for 2 months. Now, Captain Gwynn realized that this was going on at the time. Then he gets his evaluation. He has repeatedly told his supervisors, I do not want to push six long tows.
And what was his evaluation? Can you remind me before this, what were his evaluations?
His evaluations were always good, Your Honor. He had never received an evaluation that had stated that his performance needed improvement in any way, shape, or form. Now, he gets this evaluation, and if you look at the language of the evaluation, first it states clearly, his performance needs improvement. Now, ARTCO contends that he was never ordered, and their definition of order is that an order is a direction or instruction. Now, if you're told as an employee your performance needs improvement because you're not pushing six long tows, that's a clear direction.
Did they say that?
Yes, they did. They said that in writing.
Because you're not pushing long tows?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at the comments section.
Yeah, read it to me.
Just give me 1 second, Judge. I have it. All right, there's two different evaluations. One is January the 16th of 2002. It says, does he operate the vessel to his full potential? It states no. It states his performance. And then if you look up at the definition for number two, it says he's getting a fair means his performance needs improvement. If you look over to recommendations for improvement, it says other vessels in the class as a DMA take 46 loads southbound. All right, then if you look at his evaluation in 2003, it again says, does he operate the vessel to his full potential? Again, it says it gives him a fair, it says his performance needs improvement. And then if you look at the exact language of what he needs to do, it says Larry should put out the effort to go to the six long. As a master on a very good vessel, he should be headed in that direction. I think when you put those two things together, number one, his performance needs improvement. Number two, that he should be pushing a six long tow. It's clear that that is a direction to him to do that. Now, when you couple that with the fact that when he still refused to do it, he was then demoted and discharged, the jury had a reasonable basis to believe that he was, in fact, ordered by the conduct.
My question was provoked by what you said. You said that the record shows that his performance was unsatisfactory because he wouldn't push the six rows. That isn't what it said. I didn't remember it. I'll accept your explanation without pushing myself off too far.
Okay.
There's a great old Army expression, you know, that they used to tell you, or tell us, we can't make you do anything. We just make you wish you had.
Right.
Well, when you look at these evaluations that you pointed out that are part of the appendix, as at point 9 as well, it says, does he operate the vessel to its full potential? And that's where he's rated lower. He's given 2s in that area on both evaluations.
That's correct.
And in the prior evaluations before this occurred, he was what, in that 3 category?
Your Honor, we don't have any evaluations in writing before this. He testified at trial that he recollected that he was always told that his performance was excellent. That's what he testified.
Which would have been in the fours.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Well, Mr. Desert, is it unreasonable to assume that ARTCO believed that the vessel, as a physical phenomenon, was capable of pushing six long?
Yes, they did.
That's never done in the industry, pushing six long with a vessel of this size?
Your Honor, there have been times in the past where that has been experimented with by other companies. Other companies have similar-sized vessels as ARTCO, but at the time of trial and in several years before the time of trial, no other companies besides ARTCO were pushing six long tows southbound on the Mississippi River. And there was evidence that the reason for that is that they couldn't get their pilots to do it. The pilots did not believe that it was safe to do so. And that was, in fact, one of the problems in this case. ARTCO's counsel states, well, there was other pilots that refused to do it, which is, of course, true, but there was a problem trying to find other pilots willing to do it either at ARTCO or at any other company. And if ARTCO had fired everyone that had refused to do it, they wouldn't have had enough pilots to man their vessels, number one. And number two, they used Larry Gwynn as an example to other pilots and captains that this is the next step that's going to happen. What ARTCO did is they kept ratcheting up the pressure, first with the pay scale, then with the constant asking, then with the free ride program, then with the evaluations. And when that wasn't enough, they took it upon themselves to use several people as examples. Larry Gwynn was one of those examples, and there was evidence that after Larry Gwynn was terminated or discharged, other pilots, in fact, the other captain on his exact vessel, the Danny McMillan, changed his mind and agreed to push six long tows. There was another individual that changed his mind after doing the six long program and became the other captain on the Danny McMillan. So you could see that it was an effective strategy to get their pilots and captains to cooperate with them. They did not want their pilots and captains to leave. They wanted them to push six long tows. It was a last resort to fire them, but it was clear that the firing was the last thing to prove that it was in order.
McMillan. Is that owned by ARTCO?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
So, and the inherent risk is that's the concern of captains like Mr. Gwynn. Is this damage to cargo and boat or personnel, or what's the fear, the safety fear?
It's all of the above, Your Honor, but the most significant problem with operating a vessel that long, you've got 200 feet more out in front of the vessel. You've got extra weight on the vessel, so it's harder to control. And the most critical time periods is going through bends in the river, and especially going through bridges in bends. That was the testimony trial. There's a substantial risk these pilots felt of actually ramming into a bridge with this vessel, potentially damaging the bridge, causing loss of life to people traveling over the bridge, injury to their crew, losing control of their vessel, striking another vessel. There was evidence at trial that when ARTCO operated these six long, they had greater problems keeping control of their vessels, and this was, in fact, a real problem.
So evidence that you've outlined in response to Judge Brown's questions, that was before the jury.
Yes, correct? It was.
And then what you outlined for us earlier in terms of other companies and their policies or the fact that they didn't do that, that was all before the jury as well.
Yes, it was, Your Honor.
And the timing of what happened after Gwynn was fired, that too was before the jury in turn, because that's why I asked the question, how soon after what was the timing of him being fired, and then what happened with the other captains, and then?
Yes, that was in front of the jury, and in fact, Your Honor, I believe it was just several months from the time that Captain Gwynn was terminated until the suit was filed, and we argued to the jury that indicated that was another reason why ARTCO did not fire these other captains and pilots, as well as the problem that they had trying to find additional captains and pilots that were actually willing to do it. At the same time they fired Captain Gwynn, they also hired new people from the outside. And one of the questions they asked these new people from the outside was, are you willing to push six long tows? And one of the things that we pointed out to the jury was that there's two captains and two pilots for every vessel, 30 days on, 30 days off, one captain, one pilot. They matches up with that time period. What ended up happening with his vessel was there was a captain named Daryl Hardy who said, I will not push a six-long tow. But when Captain Gwynn was fired, he changed his mind. There was another captain that came over from another vessel after Captain Gwynn was terminated. He had changed his mind and said he was willing to push six-long tows because he had taken this free ride program. And then the two pilots were brand new pilots that were hired from the outside after Captain Gwynn was terminated. But within only a matter of a month or so after he was terminated, they were hired and they became the new pilots on the Daniel McMillan because they were specifically hired agreeing to push these six long tows. That was all evidence for the jury to consider whether all these circumstances added together indicated that ARTCO was in fact ordering Captain Gwynn to push a six long tow, which
these new employees that became pilots, had they had that experience before? Were they pilots before?
They were pilots before, but they had never pushed a six long tow. They said that they were willing to do it because they wanted the job. They wanted to make the money.
During the course of the trial, does the record reflect whether the six-long was becoming at all common in the industry or how rare was it?
Yes, it does reflect that, Your Honor. And there was ARTCO was the only company pushing six-long tows for 2 years prior to the trial. During the trial, there was no evidence that any other companies
Does the record reflect where ARTCO stands in a capacity sense in the industry? I mean, is that a major player? I mean, what of those that push on the river, are they a substantial company?
I would say that they are, Your Honor. ARTCO is the transportation brands for Archer Daniels Midland. They are one of the larger barge companies operating on the river. There are other barge companies, however, that are as big or larger that have similar sized boats, which are called the 10,500 horsepower boats, triple screw, that do not push six long tows.
And that's reflected in the record.
Is
your position that ARTCO's stance on this matter is a sort of a standalone or in the industry?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It's a standalone position because ARTCO is more interested in making money than in safety as compared to the...
That's a closing argument.
I'm sorry, but yes, Your Honor, it is our position that is, in fact, the case. Thank you, Your Honors. I have no further.
All right, thank you. Mr. Sachs.
2 minutes. Judge Flom and Judge Williams, what you just heard for at least the last 5 minutes is not contained anywhere in the record. Those are arguments that I really can't even address because they're not in the appellate record. I can test most of what was said, but to sit here and argue...
So it wouldn't be reflected in the trial transcript?
Not that's before this court. That is correct.
What do you mean not that's before this court? What does that mean?
Yeah, because the trial transcript
is not part of the appellate record.
It is not part of the trial record was the question.
The trial record.
Well, some of it is before the trial record, but it's highly contested. I would argue that a lot of what he said was in
the record. The question was, does the trial record contain what he said?
No. I don't believe so.
You're saying there were not witnesses that testified on behalf of ARCO that nobody else was doing six long tows. And a lot of the things that he represented, I understand you
contested. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you're saying that there was no testimony to that effect.
Because
I'm not asking you whether you cross-examined and whether there was controversy, because the jury has to resolve that controversy.
Let me finish, counsel.
The jury has to resolve that controversy and then make a finding, and the jury so found. So I want to know if, in the trial record, when we go back and scour the trial record, will it be in there? And you're saying it's not in there.
I'm saying it's not in there. And I'm saying at trial there was testimony that other companies were pushing six long tows. And Judge Bauer, with respect to the evaluation, the last evaluation he got said as follows. Larry always has his vessel in tip-top shape and is a very good employee. Does that sound like somebody who's about to get fired? The free ride that Mr. Dysart told you about was misrepresented. The pilots who wouldn't take the six long tows were invited to ride a boat and watch the other pilots push a six long tow, and they would be paid for that. Finally, in closing, I do agree that an order can be implied by conduct. I don't agree, though, that when someone specifically testifies he was never ordered to take a six-long toe, that there's any room for implication. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Sorry. The case is taken under advisement.